Father, thank you for coming and anointing us. Thank you for coming and being with us now, creating an atmosphere, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to keep this atmosphere, to be pleasing, that you feel welcome, Lord. Keep our thoughts and mind focused on you. Help us all, Lord, to get out of the way. Help us all to just humble ourselves, to surrender. Father, that you can come and say the things that you want to say, that you feel free to say them. Lord, help us to make you feel free here tonight. We look forward to what you have to say, to your strength. Lord, let your words strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to walk from here stronger now, stronger than we are now, Lord, loving you more. And Lord, help us to love you with all our hearts. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's what we long for. I ask this in your name. Bless the ones that aren't here, Lord. Just help them, heal them, strengthen them, Father. We ask this in your name. Amen. Sometime, brother and sister, we're going through our life and struggling with the things of the world. And we realize that what we need is to love God more. Sometimes I pray, God, I just want to love you more. It's a good desire to have, brother and sister, because if you have that desire, that means there's more love of God for you. What if you were satisfied? What if you were satisfied? Well, I love God pretty much with as much as I need to, as much as I want to. Well, then you're just a lukewarm Laodicean. You think you got it all. But that's not the way you are. If you were satisfied, you wouldn't come here tonight. But something inside of you is calling. It's a thirst. There's something like, I need more of God. The people, your brother Branham talking about, the real believer, they never sit back and say, well, I got it all figured out, and we got the message, we got everything's good. No, they're always the one who are hungering and thirsting for more God. Because the more of him you get, the more you want. Ain't that awesome? And I know we go through ups and downs, we go through valleys, we go through mountaintops, we go through dry places, and sometimes God seems just 100 miles away. Doesn't mean a thing. If you didn't grieve him away, it doesn't mean a thing. If you did grieve him away, repent. He'll come back. But sometimes you just walk through the valleys, through the dark places, through the deserts. And we've been going along long enough to know that. We don't get all discouraged. Amen? Turn to Matthew 16. We're going to read a very, very, very familiar verse, a couple of verses here to get started. And tonight, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. I'm just going to bring things to remembrance. It's just to, in a way of encouraging, reminding us just how much God takes care of us. Tonight, I'm going to speak on the voice of God. I think. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art this Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated. Now we know that this is a cornerstone scripture for the whole Christian walk, because what Jesus is telling us here is that he is going to build his church on the revelation of who he is. Now that's different. Now, you know, Brother Branham said the Catholic says he's building on Peter. He said the Protestants say he's building it on Jesus. But he said, Brother Branham said, what he's saying is I'm building it on the revelation of who Jesus is. Huge difference. And yet it's so close that so many people say, well, isn't that just Jesus? No, it's the revelation of who he is, because a lot of people, almost everyone in the world pretty much can tell you who Jesus was. He was a man who was born a long time ago, supposedly by some people think by a Virgin Mary. He lived for a while, he preached, he did miracles, he died on a cross, he was crucified, right? That's who Jesus was. But the revelation of Jesus is completely different. Because when you get the revelation of Jesus, you know that that man who lived and died back there is still alive right now, and he's just as much alive as he ever was and ever will be. The revelation of Jesus Christ is recognizing that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was manifest among us in flesh. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what you, when you get the revelation and you start seeing that, you recognize that Jesus Christ walks in flesh today. And how do you know who it is? Because it's the Word for your day manifest. I told you, I'm just reminding you of things you already know. Amen. So how did Peter know? How did God reveal to Peter who Jesus was? A revelation, brother and sister. And all revelation is God speaking to you, however he chooses to do it. It's the voice of God speaking to you. That's what revelation is. Don't let it get more complicated than that. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith is a revelation. What is it? God has revealed his will to you. And that is so amazing. You know, God reveals to you that you're going to be healed. I'm sick. I need God to heal me. And God comes and reveals that I'm healed. That's a revelation, right? Then you walk in that because the voice of God spoke to you. And you walk in that until you're healed. That's simple, brother and sister. That's all we're talking about. The voice of God revealing his will to you. But what if he doesn't reveal that you're going to be healed? What if he reveals you're going to die? Are you willing to accept that revelation? Or he's going to reveal, he speaks. You say, God, I really want this. He speaks and said, no, I don't want you to do that. Can you accept that? Sometimes it's a little bit more hard when he tells us what really is on his heart. We love it when God says something we like to hear. But sometimes he says something to us we don't like to hear. Do you still say amen and shout and say hallelujah? Not so loud. Brother Brandon said something like this. He said, God, you've broken my heart 10,000 times. He said, I love you every... He said something like, I thank you for every one of it. I love you anyways, or something like that. God breaks our heart sometime. It's his will. He said, well, what kind of a God is that? The same one who looked on his son, marred beyond the human image, and say, it pleases me to see my son stricken. Why? Did he think God just enjoyed it? Look at that pain. Boy, I love to see him going through that pain. No, it wasn't that at all. He knew the end result. He looks at you and he says, I got to break your heart, son. But I know the end result. I'm going to tear you up. Your life is going to be shattered. But I know what's going to come out of it. Oh, my. And then you know what he'll do sometime? He'll come and speak to you and just give you a little comfort. Just enough to get through it. Because he knows how much you can take. And he said, God, why don't you just come and just deal with this? He said, I'm dealing with it. And in 3 years from now, you're going to almost be back to normal. Isn't that how he deals with you? Yes, he does. He's not in a hurry. He does not have a microwave. He doesn't have a drive-through. He says, this is going to take time. You got to grow into it because I work according to nature. I use nature for you to understand the way I work. Look at nature. This is what I do. It's true. So, Brother Branham said, we need revelation more than anything. We should ask for revelation more than anything else. Seek it more than anything else. What are you seeking for when you pray? God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. Seek it. Listen for him to speak to you. Listen for his voice. Get that revelation. That revelation, what it is, it's faith, and faith is a substance. And you know it. You have it. It's something. It's the evidence. The faith is the evidence. God spoke to me. I know this is true. My. That's what we need more than anything else. God, just anoint me so I feel your feelings, so I feel your presence. That's wonderful. Don't you love that? You know you do. But the voice of God speaking to you is 1,000 times better than that. If you recognize it, if we're not just feelers, if we're believers. Powerful, brother and sister. Nothing like it. We should seek that more than anything else. I just, I was in prayer and I spoke in tongues and a wonderful time, just a wonderful time in presence of the Lord. Well, what did God say to you? I don't know. I was just enjoying his presence. That is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I love that too. There ain't nothing like it. Maybe it encouraged you, but what if he didn't even speak to you? Ultimately, what good did it do? You say, well, you don't think praying is... Don't get all religious on me here. You know what I'm trying to tell you. We have to hear the voice of God. That is why Satan hates the ministry so bad, because he knows that's the main way God speaks. That's the way God has sent to keep you straight, to keep things in line, so you don't get tossed to and fro with all the voices you hear out there. He sends a ministry so that we know the voice of God. We recognize it. He speaks through that. Let's turn to John. John 10. Again, very familiar scripture. You don't even have to turn to it because you know that what I'm going to read. But let's turn to it anyways. It'll wake you up. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, and the door is Jesus Christ himself, is the shepherd of the sheep. Right. He's the door and he's the shepherd. Right. He's everything. Right. Oh my goodness, we can stop right here and just shout a little bit. He is everything you have need of. What else do you want? To him, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Right now, brother and sister, I'm playing the part of the porter, and I've opened the door, and he's speaking, and the sheep hear his voice. It ain't the porter's voice, it's the shepherd's voice. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Hallelujah. He calleth you by name. You know he's speaking to you. He might not say Brother Jimmy or Brother Gene, but he speaks and you know that he called you by name because it was directly to you. He painted a picture of your life. He got down, he started talking about what you're going through. He talked what's on your mind. He talked about what you need. And you know he was speaking directly to me. Why? Because he called you by name. And what did you do? You got up and followed. Yeah, you didn't sit there and say, well, I don't like the way he preaches. You said, oh, yeah, he's breaking my heart, but I'm going anyways. Why? Because something inside had finally found a satisfaction that nothing else could satisfy. Oh, my. All the thieves and all the robbers, they came and they offered you a church and they offered you a position and they offered you a doctor and they offered you a good feeling and they offered you something to make you feel religious and holy. But he came and he offered you a satisfaction that touched that thirst and nothing else could have satisfied. Mm-hmm. Oh, as a heart panteth for the water brooks. My soul panteth after thee, O God, because I've drank from every other puddle. I've drank from every other cistern. I've drank everything else, and nothing could satisfy. And the more I drink from here, the more I want. Oh, my. Oh. I'm not preaching some doctrine. I'm preaching experience, and you've experienced it. Amen. I know who I'm talking to. Talking to God's elect.
Amen. Amen.
And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They know his voice, and when he goes before them, they will follow him.
Amen.
Notice where he leads from? The front. You get someone behind you pushing you, recognize it's the wrong thing. He don't get behind you and stop pushing. Come on now, come on. He says, come on. He gets in front. This is the way. And he just starts talking, and you just follow him. And he leads you through the shadows. He leads you through the fire. He leads you through the flood. And sometimes he picks you up and carries you when you're too weak to walk on your own. And sometimes he breaks your leg to keep you following him. Because he wants a closer relationship. And you start running around here and running around there. He says, ah, not my sheep. It's true. But the stranger's voice, they won't follow. So let's talk a little bit about the stranger's voice. Turn to Matthew. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Notice they said they will flee from him. I don't know, I kind of like this preacher over here. Maybe I'll come and listen to this preacher for a while, too. He don't preach exactly like my pastor, but he's, he says some good things. Maybe I can learn from him a little bit, too. You can learn from him. You learn how to be a lukewarm make-believer. It's true. You don't get to pick your preacher. Who told you that? God reveals to you who your pastor is. And when he's done that, there's no, I wonder if maybe I should go over here, maybe I should go over here, maybe. You know, you don't. You try it one time, you'll come back with your leg broke. It's true, brother and sister. You know what I'm talking about. He will get you to a place, if you're in the wrong church, he'll get you to a place where you're just not comfortable there anymore. And you recognize, I need to go somewhere else. Something's wrong here. And what does he do? He speaks to you and he says, go over here. And there you are. And then you're there a little bit and he speaks and he said, now isn't this better? Yeah. And then he pours it on. Once he's got you hooked and you can't go anywhere. Then he turns loose on you. Says, now that I got you, it's time to bring you into accordance to my will. Matthew. Did I say that? Yeah, Matthew 24. You learn to flee from those false ones. Matthew 24, let's start. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as will not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Do you believe we're right on the threshold of this, the great tribulation? I believe it. It's not hard to believe it right now. Just look around a little bit and see what's going on. See what has happened in our country in the last few weeks. We're not talking big, long period. Just the last few weeks, we made a deal with Iran that's going to give them nukes a while, and they're going to be able to nuke Israel. You think that's going to happen? It ain't going to happen. Someone's going to stop it. Talk about setting us up for a war. A devil got into our Supreme Court and gave us their decision about marriage, same-sex marriage. Don't tell me that's according to God's will. Show it in the Bible, and I will repent for what I just said. It ain't there. Recently, someone was trying to tell me, well, it doesn't really say anything against homosexuality in the Bible. I said, yes, it does too. It's right there. In fact, someone says, well, we're, you know, the Ten Commandments. It doesn't say anything in the Ten Commandments about homosexuality. Okay? Ten Commandments was part of the law. You want to go by the law? We're supposed to stone them. Now, you sure you still want to go by that? Come on. It's looking for an excuse to get your own way, folks. That's what it is. That's all it is. No one, everyone wants to set your own morality. I want to set my own. You know, well, what I believe is right and wrong, I'm going to decide. You just make yourself God then. You made yourself God. Quit pretending to believe the one of the Bible. Let's keep reading. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what's he saying? There is going to come a lot of people who are the thieves and the robbers and the false ones. And he said to flee from them. He said, I'm warning you beforehand so you know. He said, this is, they're going to say, this is Christ over here, or this is Christ over here, or this is the Messiah here, or this and whatever. He said, don't believe it. Because he told us how to know. He said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice, and they will flee from a stranger. So if you are one of his, you're not going to be deceived by that. How are you going to know? First of all, because you're sitting under a five-fold ministry who's going to keep it straight for you. It's not magic. Oh, I'm elect. Anything that comes deceiving, I'm just automatic. I can't hear it. Come on. This ain't magic. This is not abracadabra. This is you follow the word and the word keeps you straight. And then what you have to do is recognize Christ. Christ has been revealed to you. You recognize the word for your day. And when the word is being preached, if it doesn't have the effect of manifesting the word for your day, then it's a false preacher. He's a stranger. Flee from him. And they will deceive everybody except the elect. That puts us in some pretty good company and very small company. Now, how did you get to be that person? Because you're so holy? No, it's because we are really good people. No, it is not. And all your efforts to be really good people, he just discards them and says, that holiness, that's filthy rags. Please go put something else on, like my holiness. Amen. Recognize it's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. You have a heart to receive. Brother Branham says this, my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Spiritual revealed truth of Jesus Christ. If you're just all worked up and emotional, that won't work. It's got to be a direct witness. Who's witnessing it? God is witnessing to you that God himself by election has called you and revealed Christ to you. He has revealed Christ to you. By election, he called you. A direct witness. Let God testify who you are. Let God witness to who you are. Let God prove who you are. Sometimes we're so busy proving to the devil who we are. Trying to convince the devil who we are. Stop it. Who cares what he thinks about you? You think he said, oh, I guess you are elect. I guess I'll leave you alone. He's not going to leave you alone. Well, then quit arguing with him. Well, you're not elect. Shut up. I don't care what you're saying. You don't have to get beat down because of what he tells you. In fact, stop being beat down by what he tells you. Because you're displeasing God when you do that. Sometimes we think it's a good excuse for us to get all down and out well, Satan's just really been hitting on me. He's really been pounding on me. And we think everyone's going to say, oh, you poor thing. Let's all sit around and hold hands and weep on each other's shoulders or something. Yes, not pleasing to God. He's not saying, oh, my poor little children, Satan's beating them around a little bit. He's saying, get up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Start taking my word. Why are you still believing what Satan tells you? He's not feeling sorry for you when you're feeling down. Not if it's just because Satan's been pounding on you. Sorry to break your bubble. You mean that's not a legitimate excuse for me to be all down and have, you know, have someone pray for me because I'm feeling down? I'm not going to waste my time. You're doing the unbelieving. You pray for yourself. If you want to sit there and feel sorry for yourself because Satan's been kicking you around, I'm not going to waste my time. Because you are unbelieving. You are doubting. I don't like that. I want someone to feel sorry for me when I'm down. I want someone to come and say, oh, Brother Phil, you poor thing. Come on. Is that the way a soldier acts? That's a 2015 Laodicean soldier. You know, in boot camp anymore, they have stress cards. And if the drill instructor gets on you too much, you just pull out your stress card. He's got to quit yelling at you. Bunch of sissies. You telling me I'm going to the combat with a bunch of people with stress cards? Come on. It's getting too hard. Those bullets are getting awful close. Stress card, stop shooting at us. We're bailing. That's the direction of our country. Man, what a difference. Let me read a quote here. Brother Branham said, there are so many voices in the earth today that it's absolutely a hard thing because it deadens the voice of the supernatural. There are so many intellectual voices, great voices of mighty men who are intellectual, and their intellectual condition can even shake the nations. They're not just overnight people, but they shake nations, bringing great organizations together, great campaigns. And a person would be a bit confused. It's enough to confuse them of how these things can go on and prosper. So he's saying there's great people, and he's talking mainly like preachers here, and they come out and they can preach and they shake the nations. They create great organizations, and they got people following them by the thousands. And you look at them, they're prospering. Now, you know I'm not talking about denominations right here. We're talking about message believers. Let's bring it where it matters, where the deception is. There's plenty of great, important, popular message preachers and personalities, and people flock to them for whatever reason, and it's got a great intellectual pull, and they prosper, and you look at it and say, my goodness, look at the mighty work of God. But it's not the voice of God. And when you hear it, something inside you just doesn't quite line up. Something just kind of doesn't, the tone is a little wrong. Something's wrong here. It's enough to confuse them of how those things can prosper. And there's voices that raise up and do these things, and it causes the voice of God to be placed way back somewhere. The true voice of God. The true voice of God isn't even recognized anymore. Can I say something that's going to irritate people if they hear this? The true voice of God isn't heard anymore because they're listening to tapes. Boy, that went over well. You don't believe in listening to tapes? You know I believe in listening to tapes. I listen to tapes all the time, brother and sister. I listen to the voice of the prophet all the time. I listen to Brother Branham all the time. But brother and sister, if that is where you say that is the voice of God for this age on the tape, brother and sister, you're missing the voice of God speaking in flesh. and you're missing it. And yet, how can you make it differentiate? Because, I mean, you do hear the voice of God on the tape. Absolutely. Let me keep reading and see what he says. He said, the voice of God, they say, how will we know it's the voice of God? Good question. You have this preacher and that preacher and that preacher and that preacher and that church and that church and this personality and him, and they're all saying so many different things. How do you know which is the voice of God? Aren't you glad he said this? Because he's going to tell us how, so you don't have to wonder anymore. He said, then it was a vindicated prophet. Now, today, how we know it's the voice of God? Because it's the manifestation of the prophet's word. And then he says, this is God's prophet, pointing to the Bible. So, back then, he was talking about, they had the vindicated prophet, he spoke, and then we see the word come to pass. Malachi 4 was happening. Luke 17, Revelations 10, all these things being manifest right there during that day. He said, now we know this is the voice of God because the word that the prophet spoke is being manifest. It's happening. 50 years later, how do we know it's the voice of God? Then it was a vindicated prophet in 1963. Now it's the word that he spoke happening. Amen. You want to know what's right? Find what the word says about today and see if it's happening or not. It's just that simple. And you know how you know what it is? You had to humble yourself and get simple. Because that's how God reveals himself. And that's how he hides himself. A true voice of God only brings back that real, living, supernatural God with his supernatural word, with the supernatural manifestation of the true word. Is God supernaturally making it happen? Then we know that it's the voice of God. Look, brothers and sisters, that's why when people come along and they say, well, this man, he has discernment just like the prophet did. I don't care. That's not the word spoken for our day. I'm not looking for another Brother Branham. I'm not looking for another prophet. We've had our prophet. Now I'm looking for the fulfillment of the word that that prophet spoke. I don't care if 20 people rise up and start doing the things Brother Branham did. They're all false. Because there's no place, no word for that to happen. You don't believe in prophets? I do believe in prophets. But not a prophet to the age bringing the word of the God for the age. Because that's already been done. The seals are open. He's brought that word. He said, the supernatural manifestation of the true word. Then we know it's the voice of God. There's so much other in the other realms that just almost deaden that out. But remember, it'll come forth. It'll do it. The voice of God will be here. It's going to come forth. And the elect are going to recognize it, and everyone else won't. No one else can. It's gotten to such a place till it begin to get so loose that the word is foreign to the people. They don't get it. Then you can speak it and they don't understand it because they're not trained to it. Paul said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will know how to prepare himself for battle? The people are trained to a church voice, a church trumpet. We got more in our Sunday school than the rest of them. That don't mean a thing. We got more in our denomination than the rest of them. We got the biggest denomination. You see, that's the kind of voice people are trained for. He said, that might be all good, but if that same church isn't trained to the voice of God, the gospel trumpet, what good does it do? We have got to the point where we are trained to message church trumpets, message church voices. We make sure that we are lining up with what other message preachers are saying, or what other message believers are believing, so that we don't cause any problems. We don't want to insult anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. That's what the voice of the message churches are saying these days. It's not the voice of God saying that, because he hasn't changed. really quick, we're going to try one more scripture. Turn to 1 Samuel. First Samuel, chapter 2. Verse 27. Now let me just set what we're going. This is Eli, and Eli had two. Eli was the high priest, and he had two sons who were priests. They're very evil. Y'all know the story, right? If you don't, go back and read it. I'm not going to take the time. But he had two sons that were very evil. So it says, verse 27, and there came a man of God unto Eli. So here came a prophet unto Eli. He was a minor prophet, but he was a prophet. And said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when thou were in Egypt at Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel? So he's saying, didn't I not call your tribe to be the priests? Are you not the ones that I called to do this? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, at my offerings? He said, why are you disrespecting me then? Which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. So he said, I called you to this position. Your father's all the way from Egypt. I called you. I put you in this place. And now you're dishonoring me. You're kicking out my sacrifice, my offerings, because you are honoring your son above me. Because you know that your sons are doing horrible, vile things. And you're not saying anything about it because they're your kids. Eli was putting his family first. And the prophet goes on and he curses Eli and his family. He said, from now on, you're never going to have a man who grows old in your family. They're all going to die young. Because you honor your family above me. You caused a reproach. You brought a reproach to my temple. People abhor the sacrifice anymore because they know when they come here, your sons are going to be doing all kinds of nasty things. All right? Let's go to chapter 3. The rest of that chapter is this prophet pronouncing this curse on Eli. And here we know this very familiar story. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here am I. He ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Okay, let's stop for a second. Samuel did not know the Lord. God had not revealed himself to Samuel who he was, and the word wasn't revealed. He did not understand yet the voice of God. He did not pick up when it was the voice of God speaking. He did not know it yet. He was a child. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now here is Samuel. He's a child. It doesn't say how old, but he's a child. And he hears a voice calling him, so he runs to Eli, who's the only person around. And three different times he says, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Go to sleep. Let me sleep. And finally, Eli finally figured out, oh, it's God calling him. And so he said, it's the Lord calling to you, Samuel. Go lay down. If he speaks to you again, this is how you answer. Can you imagine you being a child, and you go lay down, and you know God might speak to you? You think he got any sleep? He was laying there quivering, I'm sure. Like, oh my goodness, that's God speaking to me? That'd be scary, wouldn't it? It would for me. How'd you like doing that as an adult? much less a kid. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, now remember, Eli has been raising Samuel. He's been right there. Eli's been like a father to him, right? And Samuel's a child. And the Lord speaks to Samuel and said, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the earth, both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Remember what the prophet had came and pronounced his curse? God's coming to Samuel and said, okay, a prophet came and that curse was pronounced. Samuel knew about that. He said, now everything I said to him, I'm going to bring it to pass. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifices nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning. It didn't say he went to sleep, because God had spoken, pronounced a curse against his mentor, against Eli the high priest. And Samuel lay until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He said, I don't want to tell Eli what God has said. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here am I. He said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Eli knew he had it coming. He knew if God had spoken to Samuel, Samuel wasn't telling him it was something bad. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. He said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel honored the word of God. Now, how did Eli know that it was God who spoke to Samuel? Because he said the same thing that the prophet had said earlier. And Samuel learned a very important lesson. God speaks the word. What the prophet said before, he brings it to pass. And now it's time for it to happen. And then you go on to the next chapter and it manifests what he said. Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul said. I preach what Paul preached. How do you know it's true, Brother Branham? I preach what Paul preached. Paul said, I preached what I read in the Old Testament. I once studied the scripture in Arabia for 3 years, and God revealed it, the manifestation of that. Micah came, and he prophesied against Ahab and Jeroboam, I think. What was he doing? He is preaching what Elijah had preached before him. But yet, when each vindicated prophet comes along, the word of God comes to that, and when they're vindicated, they speak something more for the age coming. They say what God has already been said, and they speak, they prophesy for the age coming. So Paul, Brother Brad preached what Paul preached, and at the same time he turned and prophesied for this day. And the ministry today says, this is what God has preached, this is what the prophet said, this is what's going to happen now, because he said it. Do you recognize the voice of God? And just like Samuel, sometimes you don't want to speak against the people. You don't want to speak against the elders. You don't want to speak against the ministry. But you got to say what he said. Because Eli gave us an example of what not to do, which was not say anything when there's sin around. Not say anything when something's going on. It's to put the family above the word. It's to put your friends, to let popularity, to do whatever you want, but just don't say the word, because it's going to hurt someone's feelings and you're going to lose popularity. But the true voice of God speaks and says, I don't care if you're offended, you're still going to accept it because you're my children. You get over it. And you know what happens? You do get over it. And you keep going. My, my, my. And when you see this, and you see this happening, and you look in the Bible, and you say, well, if I'm accepting the word for the day, that says I am God's elect. is your answer. That's what you use to fight the devil. A revelation that God has spoke to you, he has called you, and you know it's you because you can see yourself in the mirror of his word. And you say, well, that looks a lot like me. Jesus turned, his church, the entire flock walked away. He was standing there. He had thousands in his church. They all got up and left. He had 12 sitting around looking at each other like, oh boy, what do we do now? And he turned and said, you all want to leave too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? Thou alone hast the words of life. Now tell me you haven't looked in that mirror and saw yourself say the same thing. You know you have. You've looked around and said, oh my goodness, this thing is falling apart. What am I going to do? And then something spoke to you and said, where are you going to go? And you said, where am I going to go? And so you stuck around. And you did what Peter did. And Jesus said, I called you. Hallelujah. Amen. You didn't call me. I called you. I drew you. Right. All the Father given me will come, and I will lose none of them. Hallelujah. I will raise them up in the last day. Oh my, how do you know it's you? Because you saw yourself in the Word. You had the same characteristics as the believers in the Word. You were willing to take crumbs, like I spoke recently. You were willing to come, God, whatever it takes. If I lose my reputation, if I lose everything, I'm fine. Just save me. I'll take it, whatever you got for me. Where are you going to go? I have nowhere to go. The words of life come through here. You have the characteristics of a believer. And you start recognizing the voice of God. And when he leads, you follow. And when you recognize the voice of God, you start recognizing the voice of strangers. And when they speak, you flee. Are you starting to look like children of God? Are you starting to look like sheep? Admit it then. You know what's hard to do is just step out of faith and say, well, yes, that is me. Well, yeah, but I'm going to make mistakes tomorrow. Oh, for heaven's sake. Yes, you are going to make mistakes tomorrow, and I am too. And what does that have to do with if you're a son or daughter of God? Come on. Oh, brother and sister, our attitudes. Just take God at his word and say, all that you've done for me, it proves to me who I am. Because see, if he came down and said, Brother Gene, you're my child, you're going to have any confidence in that. Because that's not done in the Bible. That's not the way God calls you. He don't call you by your name. Brother Branham said, there might be a lot of William Branham, so that don't give me any confidence. But when he calls you by identifying you, the only way that he can, you know what I'm talking about. He speaks to you, you know he's talking to you. You know it, and you accept it. Do you realize that only the elect can accept it? Well, if you're accepting the word of God, what does that make you? I dare you confess it. I dare you. Satan's ready there. You better be careful what you say. You better not go too far. You better not say too much, because I'm going to really give you a hard time. You might want to just take it easy. Don't go out too far. Play it safe. If Noah would have played it safe, we wouldn't be here, because everyone would have died. If Abraham would have played it safe, he would have had Ishmael. Oh, he did. And what do we get for it? Isis. It's true. Every time you play it safe, you're displeasing God. He says, take my perfect will. Get crazy faith. Take me at my word. People look at you like you're nuts. You are. Anyone who believes God with all their heart and takes him at his word is nuts. The world looks at you and says, you're crazy. And that's just the way it is. It's always been that way. Amen. Let me tell you what, you've encouraged me tonight. I'm serious. Because I come here and I'm preaching and I see people receiving it and I know it's having the effect it's supposed to have, then I know I'm preaching to believers. And I like that. And it encourages me. Amen. Y'all good? Let's stand. You love him tonight? I hope so. Do you want to love him more? It's my heart's desire. I just want to love you more because I know that the more I love you, the less of this world is going to mean to me. The more, the closer that I get to you. It's the only thing to live for, brother and sister. And yet the world is so enticing. Sin is so enticing. And it just amazes me. Here I am almost dying of old age, and yet I'm still enticed by things of the world. It's like, come on, Phil. That's the way it is. That's human nature. That's the world we live in. And that's all right, because we are more than overcomers. It's already done. The battle has been won. Now just play your part. Act out your part in this drama. And we'll go home. And brother and sister, you think this is a good time? Oh my. Sometime when people shout and scream and hear under the anointing, I just can't wait. Brother Branham says it's going to be a noisy place. Oh yes it is. Yes it is. You want peace and quiet? Find someplace else besides heaven, because the first several thousand years we're going to be screaming and shouting a lot. Amen. You think David dances here? Yes, sir. You think I'm just not emotional, Brother Phil? Just hang on. You will be. Serious. I've never seen Brother Wayne dance, and maybe with that new hip he can't, but one day I'm going to see Brother Wayne dance. Like it or not, you're going to dance. Yes, sir. That's the reality, brother and sister. All this stuff we see around it falling apart, that ain't reality. It's passing away right before our eyes. I was sitting talking to some friends recently, and they were saying, you know, California's going to have a major earthquake. It's going to have a big chunk fall off. And I didn't say too much about it, but I was enjoying their conversation because I totally believed it. And I wanted to say something like, you know, we found that out back in 1964 or 3 or something. But, you know, but the world, everybody is recognizing it, brother and sister. They're recognizing it's going to be horrible. What a day that will be. What a day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you would come and speak to us the way you have tonight. Father, it's just, as I look at the battle, just driving here from work and the things going through my mind and how Satan was harassing me, and then I see how you come and turn it around and just had your way tonight, Lord. I just think, what a mighty God. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you take care of us. Father, you don't want us. You're trying to teach me to walk in a positive manner, a positive attitude, not be beat down and worrying about this and that, but just in faith. I ask you, forgive me, Lord, for my unbelief. I ask you, forgive me for my doubts and fears and the fear just to step out in faith and just speak the word. I'm sorry. After you've done so much for me, and yet I'm still hesitant. Lord, I'm sorry. Cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from my unbelief. Cleanse me from my doubts and fears. And the same for everyone here, Lord. We fight our battles. We have our struggles. And yet we know that, Lord, when your presence is here and when we're there, Lord, everything is okay. We know you got it all taken care of. It's all under control. And we feel ashamed of ourselves. We repent, Lord. Wash us in your blood. That blood has never lost its power. It still cleanses us. It still crosses that chasm and brings us into unity with you. So, Lord, if tonight, help us to be there again. Help us to walk there. Help us never to leave. Help us to not grieve you, but to die to ourself on a daily basis that we can have fellowship with you, because that's what you've always longed for. We thank you, Lord, again, for your word, the strength that comes from it, from the voice of God speaking. I ask you to bless us as we go from here. Bless the ones who aren't here, Lord. Just heal them and strengthen them, Lord. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's just sing that song. It's become my favorite song. I love you, my Lord. You're dismissed to see you Sunday. Love.